problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
And they said Calderon, the head man, top person, he said he won't pay. He won't pay for it. And you know what I said? I said, the wall just got 10 feet higher.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Okay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead, any sound. Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back. How are you? Good. The wall just got 10 feet higher. The top person, the guy, whatever his name is, the guy, the president of Mexico. That's our president now. I'm sorry. I know. I can't get over this. It's just, it's hilarious. Everybody's freaking out that the doomsday clock moved another 30 seconds. The doomsday clock is just another one of those TSA terror color barred lists. It doesn't mean anything. It's a bunch of nerds that make assumptions about things. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine, folks. We're all still here for the time being. You know, you got to stay positive. You got to look at the bright side and keep moving forward. All right, I'm going to keep it short. I got a guest today, and I don't want him sitting here waiting. So Jamie Hughes is here. She'll be in just a minute. I do want to say this podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. Slybar.com is their website. And their Facebook page is Sly Bar St. Pete. Go give them a like. Truvy Salon and Spa, thank you very much for sponsoring the program. 8908 4th Street North in St. Petersburg. The Facebook is Truvy Salon and Spa. TruvySalonAndSpa.com. It really can't get any easier than this, folks. Chrissy Parker does great work down there. I saw she had a Botox lady in now, so she's stepping up in the world. Call her. Make an appointment. 727-329-9751. If you want to leave a message, maybe you want to sponsor. Maybe you're a multimillionaire business owner, and you want to sponsor a podcast based in St. Pete. Hey, I got one, and you should. Call me, 813-693-2124. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. And if you missed any of that, just go on my website. It's really easy. HMBradio.com. Hotel Mike Bravo Radio.com. All one thing, all one word. So yeah, go there, check it out. You can catch old episodes. CityHallBroadcast.net, which I also host here on Radio St. Pete. Go into their archives. You can get an in-depth look at City Hall with Kevin and Ben, two of the mayor's men down there. We do a podcast twice a month, so check that out at cityhallbroadcast.net. If you don't live in St. Pete, you probably don't care too much about that. But I don't know, maybe you do. It's a cool place to be, this town. And make sure you subscribe. Just go into your iTunes or your Stitcher, type in HMB Radio, one word, Tampa Bay, that's two words, or HMB Radio should be enough, and it should just come up for you, and you'll be good to go. Make sure you rate, you know, it only takes a second, give it 5 stars, it only takes a second, and it really helps us out here. We've got other shows. We got the Hurricane Howell Show, which is brand new. My good buddy Adam Howell gives his take on things, and it is a little different from everybody else's. So that's only available on the podcast or at hmbradio.com. And James Bailey's my mom's favorite podcast, local comedian, goofball, pothead. That's a good way to describe James. So he brings you his show weekly. So those are, you can find those there, hmbradio.com. Jamie Hughes coming up this week on the Homemade Broadcast. Let's get to it, shall we? We're not going to wait around today. Jamie Hughes, welcome to the Homemade Broadcast.
Thank you.
So I got to be honest, I don't know much about you, and I don't do my homework as I probably should for these things.
None of us do.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you're a singer-songwriter, educator. You got a lot going on.
Yeah. So I've just recently released a single, and so I'm grateful that you invited me to come here. A little about myself. I teach songwriting at St. Petersburg College, and I've done that for the last 7 years. So songwriting has always been a passion. Prior to that, I went into real estate and thought that I could supplement my income by buying real estate, and that just kind of fizzled because all of the properties require so much work.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Either it was the music or the rentals, and it was the music for me.
Oh, so you were kind of doing, you were a teacher first and then kind of on the side doing the real estate. I guess the economy with the way that was for a while too didn't help.
It poofed. Yeah, it went away. So it kind of forced me to get back to simplicity and to what my passion was and what I really wanted to do. And so after losing the properties basically or selling them and, it wasn't good way back when.
Yeah.
But it did encourage me to get back into music. I think it was the simple life. So it was a good thing.
Has music kind of been part of like your whole life, or was it more of a hobby and then it became serious down the road?
It's always been a part of my life. My family was always musical, and my mom was a singer and an entertainer, and my grandmother was a comedian and singer. So having been raised in that, I think that it was kind of an automatic thing for me.
Yeah, like a genetic thing got handed down to you, that
probably.
Performance gene. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Did your parents, mom and grandmom do that professionally, or was it?
Yeah, yeah. We had a bar back in Seattle, a little town outside of Seattle. And then, and so it was only open Friday and Saturday nights. And so the bar was always packed. It would just fill up with people. And so being raised around that, it was the laughter. People think, oh, you were raised in a bar. But okay, so I was. But children don't understand that maybe something in a bar wouldn't be appropriate for children. They only understand what they can understand, which was the laughter.
Right.
And so to see an audience full of laughter every night, or at least every weekend, that's my upbringing. So knowing that, then you want to do the same thing when you get older.
Right.
So
are you from Seattle originally?
Yeah, a little. It's a logging town outside of Seattle. My dad was a logger, and so we lived in the, I guess, not woods, but kind of out in the woods country.
Yeah, when did you move to this area?
2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been here a while now.
I'm getting old. Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah.
It feels like that wasn't that long ago. Like, I'm 32. I'm starting to forget how old. I know that's not old, by the way. I'm not
trying to
insinuate
not.
That's old. But I'm getting to the point now in my life where it's just a number at this point. Like, people ask me how old I am. Like, it doesn't really matter anymore, I don't think. Once you hit 30, it's just kind of autopilot after that.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. Thanks. That's encouraging. I agree.
How long you were teaching at SPC for how long?
I've been teaching for 7 years.
7 years
for the songwriting. Yeah.
Yeah. And what did you go to? Where'd you go to college?
I went to St. Martin's College up in outside of Seattle. It's near Olympia, just outside of Olympia, I should say. And then I went to Western.
You got a degree in music?
It was music education.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was my bachelor's, and then my master's was in music, and that was at Western Carolina University.
So what's the difference between a music degree and a music education degree? It seems like music would kind of encompass all that. So if you know how to read music and can teach people how to read music, you can kind of teach music. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I would say it, but as far as the differences between the two degrees, so a music degree and a music education degree, I think that you have to, the music is, that's the beginning. And then now you throw on education. Mm-hmm. So just a little tidbit on that. I went to Washington State University and started studying there. Mm-hmm. And I was miserable. And then when they told me it's going to take you 6 years to finish a four-year degree, I said, goodbye. Well, I'm out of here, because how does that make sense? But it does make sense, because you're not only doing a music degree, you're also doing an education degree. So, of course, it's going to take longer. But it just, 4 years? What? Now you want 6 years? There's no way. I'm out.
Yeah, yeah,
so
I
went to a private school, and that was, it was much more expensive, but I was able to get into the workforce a lot quicker and end up with the same degree. So,
did you start teaching when you moved down here?
I came and subbed. I subbed after leaving Seattle. I moved down here and I picked up a gig that was at a resort. And then I was subbing during the day and then waitressing. And so I'd work like crazy for 2 weeks. And then I hit the road. I'd take a cruise for a week or two. And then I'd play. Yeah. That's the benefit of being a musician, because you can make a lot of cash quickly and then hit the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of friends that do that, just play at bars. Some of them, that's what they do with their life. They play 5 days a week. You know, I don't know. I don't think they're rolling in it, in the dough.
But it's cash and it's an income.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're paying taxes on that. I don't want to rat them out, but pretty sure it's mostly cash under the table. So that's the way to do business.
Yeah. And then you hit the road.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you play instrument-wise?
Instrument, piano is my main instrument, and then I did some percussion, and then what else? A little guitar early on, and bass. So that was just, it was, I think that you need a bass player. Okay, yeah, sure, I'll
learn. You can do that.
Bass.
You can kind of do anything.
Yeah, and then I get tired too.
So did you just put out an album or an LP? Or?
You know, good question. I just released the single, because I, as everybody, and as we're all learning this new music business, it's not like making a CD anymore. It's, okay, you got to do the digital distribution. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a learning curve for me. And so I just started out with a single to find out, how do we do this? And so that just happened on the 21st. The single was released. So now that I've got a little idea of how it works, then I'll repeat that process with a few more.
What was the single called?
The single, what is it called? Let It Down. Yeah. I released just the single, but it's part of an EP, or I guess it's an album.
Is it kind of like going to be released one at a time type of thing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think so. It seems like that's what everyone's doing now. I just saw John Mayer. He had four songs, and then, what did he say, in a few more months or some amount of time, that he's going to release another four.
Yeah.
So it just seems like that's the fad now.
I guess there's really no reason that you need to necessarily put out a whole record at once now. You can kind of, because it seems like musicians are very, I got some friends that are musicians, and they're super, super picky about, they're like, it's not done yet. I gotta finish it up before I release it. And I'm just like, dude, you've been working on this for a year.
No
doubt.
Let's
go. You got to put it out there at some point.
I know. But at the same time, yes, and I understand both sides. The one side, like you, I mean, how long can you really fix something? At a certain point, it's got to be finished and just be done with it. But then the other side is that there is so much on the internet now that why would you maybe jeopardize your reputation by putting subpar music out there? If you know that it's not that great and that you're going to cringe every time you listen to it, then I would say step back and maybe take the time, fix it, and then release it.
I mean, there's ways to do that, though. You could always say, like, demo version or
That's
something
true.
Like that. You know, just if you're not super confident in it, then you can go back and mess with it later.
Well, please don't ask to hear any of my demo versions. Yeah, I wouldn't be here right now.
So where's the inspiration for your music come from? Where do you write from?
I love watching people. I love watching stories or hearing stories. And I think that when you're observing other people or experiences, you can take a position and you can have empathy or compassion for that person. And so when you see that, then it's, I have to tell this story. It's somebody else's story, but I want to share it with other people. So the inspiration is stories. And I love, I could sit all day and listen to stories. And people, when they have, I mean, everyone has a life that is beyond what we could ever imagine. And so when you hear about their experience, then you just say, oh, my gosh, you're just one person. There's so many people that have great stories. So
is it fiction, nonfiction? Do you sometimes make up these stories? Are they autobiographical, or is it kind of just a mishmash of a bunch of different things?
Yeah, probably. Like we were just talking about, like, how many versions of this song are you going to make? But if you sit in a rut because you can't finish the song, well, maybe it's because you don't have an ending to the story or you don't know how the story is going to finish. So then, yes, you got to throw some fiction in there just to wrap the song up and, mm-hmm. and move on. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are truthful and, I mean, from beginning to end, they're the full, real version of the story.
Yeah. So is this people that you know, or is it sometimes just people you see at the airport or something, and then you kind of imagine what their story is? And you can get a lot by people watching at the airport. You know, by the expression on their faces, what's going on, kind of. You can kind of have that intuition, at least their mood, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. But also, I'm thinking about if it's somebody that you can't even, you just read about. And so it's that you only get the amount of information that you've just received.
Right.
And so now you kind of have to empathize and feel what they're feeling.
What is Let It Down about? That's a single.
Nothing.
Nothing?
And I think, it's about nothing. And it's, if you challenge yourself, it's the hardest thing to ever write about. If you, if you can write about sad, you can write about happy, you can write about depressed or whatever, but when it comes to nothing, that's my purpose. That was my hope. And I think I kind of achieved it. It wasn't necessarily abstract. So abstract is different than nothing. For me, obviously, it was a flight back to the West Coast, and it was a red eye. And then it was observing what was going on while you're in this flight. So I guess that's as deep as it goes.
I think there's this motif, like, if you're a particular artist, whether you're a painter or a musician or something, it always has to be deep.
I know.
And I don't think that's necessarily true. And not only that, but I think when people, I think they lie. I think that's part of the hustle of being an artist, is being a good liar.
No doubt.
Yep. It doesn't always mean, because people have asked me, like, oh, what is this drawing of? I'm like, it's just a person. It's just, I kind of, you know, made it up. It has no deep meaning to it. It's just an image that I thought was neat. So
no,
I don't know.
Kidding.
Maybe I'm not authentic, though. Maybe I'm not getting it. But, you know, I feel like it's the quality of the product. If it's good, it's good.
Absolutely. Yes, I absolutely agree. I know sometimes people want to know, oh, what did you mean by this? And what was it? And then,
like, shut up.
I take what you want from it.
Enjoy it, please. You know, if not, sorry.
Yeah, right.
Try harder next time.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also noticed that in songwriters that a lot of times I've noticed that they can't complete a song because they feel like it is not deep enough.
Right. Right.
And I'll say, throw some words in there and just
wrap it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I told them just the other day, I said, I'll play you two different songs, one that I wrote from absolutely the core. I mean, it took every emotion and drained me because it came, that's how deep it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll play you another song that it was throw something on the page and be done with it. And then you tell me which one was.
Which one was which, and I bet you got a bunch of different answers.
You know what, and I didn't do that, but I was giving them just an example I was selling them on the fact that they won't be able to, but I didn't take class time to really demonstrate. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say, oh my gosh, that made me cry. It was so meaningful. And where did you do? Or
I have a gift. I don't know. Just deep in my soul.
Right. Yeah. Or more like, yeah, it came from the depths of my soul. But then in reality, you're just saying, oh,
it just came out. And I guess it does maybe sometimes when it just kind of organically flows out. You know, maybe that's the truest form. Maybe that is the most honest.
True.
You think maybe it's nonsense, but it's not.
I agree.
You're not filtering it through your mind or anything. You're just kind of letting it flow.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Singer-songwriter Jamie Hughes is here this week on the Homemade Broadcast. So tell me, what are you playing? Are you kind of like a solo artist? Do you have a band?
I am a solo artist, and I have appreciated all of the students that I've had because I can go into their world of music, and they all have different styles. So I would consider myself somewhat of a collaborator when I'm working with my students. So as far as a band, I would say my students. But I've also, it took me about 20 years, and I have found an engineer that he's just incredible. And so I would consider him my band.
Who's the engineer?
Justin Cullen.
Is he I take it he's local here?
He is, yeah.
Does he work with a bunch of other artists too? Or?
He does. And I'll, now that you have his name, I suppose you can look him up. Because I don't want to give any wrong information on who he's worked with and recorded. But, yeah, he's finding him. It was inspiring, and I became enthusiastic again about recording. Because sometimes you think, oh, gosh, I'll just stay home and I'll do my best to record this stuff. And then you get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So finding him after 20 years, it was I think that.
Well, it can really change your sound, right, based on how it's produced, how it's recorded. You got to really find somebody that knows what they're doing.
Oh.
But not only that, I mean, it's a machine, right? If you know what you're doing, you got to have someone you kind of click with.
Right.
That they know what you're saying, you know what they're saying, even maybe you can't express it
right
at the time,
you know. The so chemistry.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I wouldn't say, I mean, usually there's a lot of people that I feel like I can bond or somewhat connect with a lot of people, but you're right. He is operating a machine, and he does it. He just has a way, and then he also, he's very calm, and he never gets. He just knows how to read the artist.
Mm-hmm.
I would say,
mm-hmm.
And then he's got such a rich sound. I don't know how he gets that out of. Huh, me? But, yeah, so he's wonderful.
Yeah.
So I would say if for any of the listeners, if they're looking for collaborators or band people, find someone that you do have the chemistry with, but also a producer or an audio engineer that knows their stuff.
Right.
That's so valuable.
Yeah, definitely. How would you describe your music? I know it's hard these days to put it in a box. I've talked to a lot of these local musicians, and now they just make up genres. They put these words together and they make up all these new things.
Hmm. Well, so that's a good...
Not to put you on the spot, necessarily, but, you know.
I would call it spoons and paint. let's see. Singer-songwriter is such a general genre.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Alicia's here. She's
Alicia, your manager I've been talking to.
She is. Yes. Yep, she's my... you want to say something? She's one of my old high school students who has been sweet and kind to keep in touch with me and arrange to meet you tonight. So maybe you'll talk a little in a second.
It's nerve-wracking, I know. It's weird. It takes me a long time, or it took me a long time, to get comfortable in my home with microphones in front of my face. So I feel bad for people that don't have any experience on this, because it's throwing them right into the fire.
No.
And this is not live or anything. This is all pre-recorded and stuff. But it's still, it must be scary.
Yeah, I agree. I know. Even just to hear...
Yeah, hear your own voice, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate it.
And stand right to this muffled big, ball.
So if you were to describe it, I mean, singer-songwriter, but, I mean, is it piano? Like, what kind of instruments are involved? That type of stuff.
Yeah, the piano. And keyboard, obviously, vocals. We've worked, with... a live drummer and the live bass player, not this song in particular, but some of the others. And it is nice to work with live drummers and live musicians. But on the other hand, it sure is handy to be able to have your keyboard and to make whatever you have in you come out in the keyboard.
And now you can do it on the computer, too. Just kind of plug in those notes, and you're good to go.
I know, but then first you got to figure out, how does it work? How come I'm not getting any sound?
Yeah,
and then you say, oh, heck with it, I'll just go to the piano. Call Justin.
So what was your greatest influences growing up?
Edie Brickell.
Mm-hmm.
She was huge.
I like to call her Paul Simon's wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess if that's the...
She's from Three Non Blondes, though, right? The Three Non Blondes are great.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like she just married that guy, and it was like, he's so rich that he just don't have to do anything anymore, or as much.
Maybe. Yeah. I didn't think about.
I mean, does she still record? Right.
She does.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But not with Three Non Blondes.
No.
They haven't been around a long time.
Right. Okay. So Edie Brickell, I think that. She was huge. Diana Krall was huge for me. Having been raised in Seattle during the grunge 90s grunge scene, that kind of inspired me on its simplicity. I think the simplicity. But who else? Gosh, Ella Fitzgerald was huge. Oscar Peterson was huge for me. Jimi Hendrix. The list can go on and on and on.
What's your process like when you go to write a song?
So
we talked about the story before. So once you have it, does the music come first, or does the lyrics come first, or is it both?
Yeah, good question. So I, being a musician, love to go to the piano and lose myself in a groove. But I waste a lot of time just losing myself in that groove. So as fun as that is, I realize that, wait a minute, I'm trying to write a song here. So let me step away and have some focus and get what I need to get done for the song. So so my process is, when I do find a groove, then I'll maybe write some lyrics, or usually sing or improvise some sort of motif or motive, motive, and then come up with a story. What is that groove? What is that chord color telling me? Yeah, so that's, otherwise, sometimes I'll say, I think I need to write a song about him or about her. And so that would be a different approach. Yeah, and that's more focused. Losing myself in the groove is fun, but to be able to say, no, wait a minute, that story needs to be told. So therefore, I've got to focus. And in fact, I've been writing some about Alicia's at the school that I've just recently resigned from. I was teaching choir for, is it okay to say the school?
Yeah.
Okay, Lakewood High School. And so Alicia is my student from Lakewood. And so there's many stories to write from that experience alone, but I realized that the students themselves, that they have a story, and I want to be able to write something and tell their story. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, in fact, when you guys texted this morning, I was, yeah, it was sweet, because of course I'm playing on the piano and I'm writing their song. And so lo and behold, bing, my phone, there's a message from them. So they're sweet.
So what happened with Lakewood? How come you're not teaching there anymore?
So I'm glad you asked. And I decided that I was not probably the perfect fit for the position. And there that, let's see, that a lot of the students, gosh, yeah, I didn't, I don't think that they realize how much I cared. And so when a student doesn't think that you really care, then they're not going to give what they really have to give. Mm-hmm. And so it's a fight. And so for me, it was easier to let go rather than me try to force that, or else find myself in a position where I'm not enjoying it anymore. Mm. And I realized that in that position, I was not really liking who I was. Mm. I was becoming someone who that it wasn't me. Yeah. And the bad part is that when you're young, I don't think that you really trust people, especially because I was a new teacher. And so no one really knows, who do we trust? And then, and so I don't think that they did trust me, or that I don't think that they knew how much I cared. So
by they, you mean the students?
Correct. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So gosh, there's so many talented students, and the other bad part is that I miss them, mm-hmm. but it's not, it's just not the right fit for me.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough gig. I got a few friends that are public school teachers, and it's a thankless job. You don't get paid that much to do it.
I know.
And
yeah.
It's kind of a passion career that you go after.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And it's truly a passion for me. There's no greater high than to see my students, to take them from this and then take them all the way wherever they want to go. I will help them. Mm-hmm. But it is, when you can't get that, when you can't get them on board with you, then it is a thankless job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in both ways.
How has it improved now that you're at SPC? I mean, is it?
I've been at SPC all along.
Oh, okay.
So lessened the amount of hours that I was teaching at Lakewood, at SPC, so I could take full time at Lakewood and the middle school, Bay Point Middle School. Mm-hmm. So I've always maintained SPC. I'm sorry, what was your question?
Oh no, I thought you were moved from Lakewood to SPC.
Yeah,
but you were kind of already there, and then kind of doing Lakewood. See, they don't really do music. Like, music teachers don't get hired on at public schools anymore 5 days a week, right? That's kind of like you come in a couple days.
You know, I'm not too familiar with the rest of the county. Uh-huh. I know from my experience at Lakewood and Bay Point, I would go every day from Lakewood to Bay Point, and on the every other day, I was going Lakewood, Bay Point, Lakewood. Mm. So it was this back and forth thing, which is another bad, it doesn't help the students to know that, wait a minute, the doors are locked. This is our room. This is our home. And how come, where is she? Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like I was always, I'm never home for them. And it just,
yeah.
I feel bad for teachers who have to do, I know there are other teachers that do that. They travel around to all these different schools to teach.
Right.
That's not fun. And it's not fair to the students. Because band, for me, that was my home. And why shouldn't it be? I mean, I was willing to be there so I could learn my craft, learn how to be a musician. And I can't imagine going to the hall and upstairs, as we do, and the doors are locked. That's just, yeah, especially because that's the safe place, or it should be the safe place. And when it's locked, that's, it's just, it's not for the students.
But SPC's going well, and I'm sure. Do you have any promising students?
Oh, my gosh. Every semester. Yeah, I do. And I come home, and I tell my husband, honey, this is the best class. This is the best semester. And then all of a sudden, he said, you said that last semester. No, you wouldn't believe. These are the best.
This time, I mean it.
Yes. And every year, it's the truth. They are just, I mean, there's just not enough time. I could give you, I'm just so proud of them. They're so good.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to hear about, you know, the art still being alive in schools, because it seems like every year it kind of gets cut more and more and more. But I guess in college, you know, you can kind of go for that. That's your thing that you go for. But if you don't have that foundation when you're going to school, then how do you get to that point?
True. Except at the same time, I've said that some of my best songwriters are non-musicians. So they have not even, they don't know any theory. And so all they know is it's just within. So
I think that's something that's kind of, I tell the story all the time, but I got a buddy of mine who's he's good at music. He just does music. He learned bass when he was a kid and learned guitar by himself. And I wanted to learn guitar when I was in high school. So I got one, and he's like, yeah, I'll teach you. Come on. And then we'd just start doing all this stuff. He's like, no, dude, come on, just do this. And I'm like, I can't do that. And I just got frustrated. I took lessons for a while, but I just got to the point where it was like, play a few chords, play some open chords. And I was like, this is as good as I'm going to get.
Oh.
So I think it's one of those things that you can learn, but I feel like most of the people that pursue it, it's in them. It's in their DNA.
True, but there's a lot of hard work, and that is the thing about being a real musician, is that you have spent so much time alone that you are your own best friend or enemy, but it's, you are close with yourself, and you have to be able to sit in a practice room for hours and hours and hours. That's just you.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, now you get this person hasn't experienced that. Maybe they've gone and played and rode bicycles with their friends or something. And, and you're the person that really studied from a younger age and disciplined yourself. And so I don't know if it's part of our DNA, I think. But it's also, it's hard
attainable.
Work.
Yeah. You can do it with the hard work.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of students and a lot of people that it's just the idea of a practice.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
That means a lot of time.
Yeah. Like in a room all alone without my phone or a game.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that must be hard for kids now, because that's all they got.
I know.
See it all the time. So if you had, we'll get you out of here in a second, but if you had advice for somebody who's listening, a young person that's listening and maybe wants to pursue music.
What would the advice be? To know the difference between emotional songwriting and unemotional songwriting. So songwriting doesn't necessarily have to be an emotional experience. It can be just doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it can be an emotional experience, but if you can't finish it because it's so emotionally draining, then step away from it and maybe give a bird's eye view of what the story is so you can leave your emotions out of it and finish it easily. Right. So it's not going to kill you. I have a lot of students who will say, oh, I have a lot of ideas. Well, that's it. That's all they are. They're just ideas.
Expand on those ideas.
Yes, you know? Finish the idea.
Build them out, right?
Right. We all want to feel good after hearing a story or after some song. So finish it. And
would you say that's the biggest roadblock? I think this is the thing, is getting over yourself. Getting over to put it out there and have people be critical of your stuff, potentially. That's hard.
It is so hard. Yeah. Yeah, I know. We're our own
worst enemy when it comes to that.
Yeah.
That was one of the things. I don't use my college degree, but I took art classes for 2 years, and one of the first things they said was, okay, here's your assignment, and we're going to hang it up, and we're going to critique everybody. I said, I'm not doing that. No way. And so it's scary, you know, putting your art out there. But then that's the biggest thing I learned was everybody feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are pretty nice, and you're going to hear some things, but they're not meant necessarily to be hurtful. They're just, this is what I would do different. But then you also realize that that person doesn't know much more than what you know either.
Good.
So take it with a grain of salt and just keep doing what you're doing. Don't be afraid to put it out there. That's the biggest thing.
Yes, you're right. It's scary to expose yourself. My beginning songwriters, I have them all start off with writing a motive, mm-hmm. or a melody, and it's so foreign to them because they're not protected by their instrument. Instead, they have to just sing a motive, sing a melody. That's tough.
Yeah.
But I've always said that the piano isn't going to write us our song. We have to write our song.
That's
so
right.
Internalize this beat. Internalize whatever you're feeling and sing whatever. Sing a melody. And that's you as a songwriter.
Right. Jamie Hughes, thank you very much for coming in. Where can people find your music, your social media, anything like that?
It's taking a little... it is on iTunes, Spotify, any of the music...
Twitter or Facebook?
I do not.
No.
What? I don't know.
What are you doing?
That's why I have Alicia.
Alicia, you got to get her a Twitter and a Facebook page.
Well, apparently I do. One of my old students, yeah, she was telling me the same thing, but I don't know how to get on it. So, yeah, maybe if you know how to fish through passwords, then let me know.
We'll get Putin on the phone in Russia.
Thank you.
Out.
Yeah, tell Trump I need to talk to him.
All right, very good. Jamie Hughes, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
All right, there you go. That was the Homemade broadcast this week. Thank you, Jamie, for coming in. Thank you for listening. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show coming up next. After that, Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, well, you know, go about your life and enjoy. Will Kuntz, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. See you next week. Just Let It Down by Jamie Hughes.
Just another ordinary night up in the sky. The beaded light of the wings outside took me into the night. I sit above the sleepless world, so quiet from alone. Touch the sky just before we touch down.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.